Oh, really? Tell us more.
I tend to get irritated and angry real easily.
Anyway, or when you work with fire?
When I work with fire.
Okay, so what would be useful in that regard?
Well, probably, I'm trying to remember my readings, trying to dissipate that energy into a ground.
You'll end up doing that a lot.
Yeah, or taking the box away.
You'll end up doing that a lot, too. There's a better way.
Oh.
So what aren't you doing?
What am I not doing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not adding boxes of air.
Okay, what specific boxes of air would be useful?
Well, maybe easy flow, or
that would make it burn brighter.
That would make it burn brighter, yeah. Insulator.
You'd even be more volatile. Insulator might help, but there's something a lot better than that.
Mediator.
Yes, right on. Good for you. That's what you want to increase.
Uh-huh.
You want to use that fire instead of having it use you.
Okay, yeah.
And also take on some non-mutable fire.
Okay.
Just a quick comment. Kimberly had posted an email to the chat asking if she could send somebody fire boxes with air characteristics. And I answered her, but just in case.
Yeah.
In class.
Right. So, obviously, you can't mix your metaphors.
Right.
However, what she's really wanting to do is what we're talking about. See, if you think about it, if you have a problem with fire, oftentimes it's the air that wants addressing. Do you see what we're getting at? Randy?
Yeah, so you want to subtract the air from...
Well, you not necessarily want to subtract it, you want to add it. You want to add mediators.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not taking away anything, you're asking the air to mediate the fire better.
Ah, yeah.
Okay, see, think about this. Mm-hmm. Fire is not reactive. There is no characteristic of fire that says reactive. It's the air that's reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is the problem? The problem is my mind. It's what I think about it. You think you have a fire problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because you experience too much heat or anger or brightness, whatever you want to call it, too much radiative, too much motivator, and you don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
So you tell us and you think to yourself, aha, I have a fire problem, I can't handle fire. That's mind assignment.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay.
Mine is labeled that.
That is correct. So where... the first place that needs to be addressed is in mind.
Mm-hmm. So, I would take white.
White mediator?
Yeah. White mediator.
Right. Clear mediator?
Yeah.
Outer blue expandable? In other words, what am I shutting down here that I can utilize better? What am I not seeing? What am I not understanding? So powder blue expandable will help that increase that understanding. Maybe even powder blue mediator.
Mm-hmm.
And then, without touching the fire at all, do those first and then see how you do with fire boxes.
Okay.
Because that'll teach you more.
Yeah.
You can always just reduce your fire, but so what? Then you haven't figured out the cause.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, you know, Band-Aid therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand now.
Cool. Well, I sort of gotten ahead of us because we haven't even taken the role, but I know we've got Helen and we've got Randy.
Jennifer.
And Jennifer.
Dan's here.
And Dan.
Magnus is here.
Hey, Magnus. This is wonderful. Everybody was listening to this grand rap on fire and air. I hope you all enjoyed it.
Yes, we did.
Anybody else that didn't announce themselves? Okay. Alrighty, let's light our candles and proceed. But I really enjoy the way you all, you don't give up. I really like that about you guys. You try things, you're not quite sure how it all works yet, which is natural. We're only in two elements. But you don't give up. You just come and say, well, this is what's going on. What do I do? That's how magicians learn. And what do I do when a match won't strike? Ah, use a different box. There you go. You all ready for blessing?
Uh-huh.
I will assume that is a group yes, child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our aim. Give us patience to see the glow of fire within us. We need to know. How was that? Inspire creation.
Did you make that up on the spot?
I did. I must confess. So Helen, I'm going to start with you, not only because we had such a wonderful session when I was there in Boulder, and of course I'm aching to know what changes you have seen, but because you were first person whose voice I heard, and that means that you get to be first. And so there was this In Beauty exit ritual.
Right.
What have you discovered about the nature of beauty in your life?
Well, I could use a bit more. it was really interesting. I had fun with it. The first couple of times I did it, I felt just a kind of general ease coming over me. But that was just specific to when I stepped outside. I wasn't noticing that ease in my life. And then after that happened, I did it, and it was really funny. My body started swaying forwards and backwards, like I couldn't get my balance. And so that got me thinking about where is my life out of balance. And that's what I kind of ended up with doing this, is basically looking at how to get more balance in my life between work and play and rest.
Okay. So your conclusion was very accurate. You said, okay, you were outside, you said, you know, in beauty I greet you, and you felt this sort of ease, but
yeah.
You said, but this is not in my life.
Right,
and that is correct.
Yeah, and it felt almost like I was being shown what it feels like, so I could notice where it was absent during the week.
Absolutely. That's wonderful seeing on your part. Okay,
thanks.
So then what is making it missing from your life?
A feeling of, well, on one hand it was pressure, it felt like, around time.
Right.
But then I switched from that feeling from there isn't enough time. I didn't stay there because that felt like a trap.
Right.
And I went more to that there's probably a way that I'm utilizing my time or the way I'm approaching things that's off base. So I tried to look at ways for there to be more ease when I'm at work, and to bring more play into my work so that there weren't these divisions, you know, like separate categories.
Right.
And that helps somewhat, but and in addition to that, though, I realized that I also had maybe a little too rigid notion of what is play, and I was actually tiring myself playing, you know,
sure.
Because I wanted to have equal time working and equal time playing, so I just totally changed the whole way I looked at it.
Okay, well, that's highly fruitful. How would it look to you if everything that you have called work is actually play?
Right, that's what I was attempting to bring more of into my workplace.
Okay, just set up that as a vision. Don't try to make it happen.
Right, yeah.
You know, and you just practice these magical exercises and what you will see will blow your mind. It will just happen. If you try to make it happen, it won't happen.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that. That's really cool. Okay. Randy, what was it for you?
I'm sorry, what was the question again, Alan?
Just about the in beauty.
Oh.
Exit ritual?
Yes.
What did you learn about beauty?
No. I learned that beauty is kind of like everywhere.
Well, now you've found where it is, but what is it?
What it is? It's, well, to me, it's just manifestation of,
Well, you were manifesting when you did fireboxes, but it didn't feel so beautiful to you.
No, that's true. It didn't.
So what would have made it feel... Okay, if you're looking at a sunset and you're holding hands with the lady you love, if you're a gentleman or whatever, and that is just really fine, then that says something about what is beauty, you know. And if you're struggling to get clear of what you call excess fire because it makes you feel very uncomfortable and you're, you know, doing singeing everybody around you with overloaded dragon's breath, then that makes you feel uncomfortable. Okay, so if you look at both of those extremes, what is beauty? Well, what did Helen just tell you about beauty?
Well, basically that it's what we label beauty to be.
And oh, really?
Well,
that's just a mind assignment. Beauty is being in balance.
Yeah. Beauty would be being in balance.
It certainly is. That's why this whole thing is called the beauty way.
Ah.
Because it is a process that allows us to maintain our balance no matter what else is going on.
I understand.
So what the power of that is that when you go outside and you say, if you plant your feet and you stand there like a warrior that is not going anywhere until you want to, and you say, sky above, and you say, and earth below, in beauty, I greet you, you are in balance. And as long as you have that force working through you and with you, you are in balance. And if fireboxes have been bothersome, you do that and they're not going to bother you.
Mm.
But you have to know that. You see, you have to have discovered that.
I see. Yeah.
It doesn't just work because I tell you so.
Right. Yeah, I know. I've got to know that for myself.
That's right. But what I'm wanting you to see is that there are many solutions to any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And all that we're learning to do here is how to decode a problem. Any problem. So let's see what other people discovered with this that'll help you on your search. Because we're going to do more of this in beauty. We're going to be walking in beauty this week. So we're not done with it. Jennifer, what did you notice?
I had a really fast week.
Fast?
Fast. It's like, where'd the week go?
Okay.
I'd say this, and I'd feel the calm sensation. I could see the perfectness out there, you know, the birds and all that stuff, and the people around me and that. And then I had some harsh things surface that were, I've been carrying a long time, and they were forced out. And after I recognized them, the constant ache of something went away, and help me recognize those things that I had incorporated into a sore hip or something that was always there usually.
That's right. So you see, again, that started out in you as air, an idea or a belief, way back in time.
Yeah.
And then it got some fire energy. And then it attracted some water energy, and then it became earth in your hip.
Okay.
Okay? And then there was fire locked in your hip. We call that pain, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay? So all that is a creation sequence. That's all.
Okay.
Okay? So because earth is non-mutable, even though we haven't gotten to earth yet, you can't directly, it's very difficult to say, uncreate that earth, because it's non-mutable. However, you can certainly take the fire energy out of it, can't you?
Yeah, but it keeps coming back, too.
Well, yeah, of course it does.
Okay.
Of course it does. Why does it? Because, you see, if the cause was in air, you have to correct the air first. You can affect it, just like Randy said, but you can't change the cause-effect chain that way. Because we need to back up and say, disclaim the concept that is locked or that initiated the whole process, because the pain is not your enemy. The pain is there to tell you you're operating with the wrong concept. We don't make those kind of connections. We separate everything out in an analytical culture, and we say, no, no, the pain is the problem. The pain is not the problem. That's part of the solution. So now you understand better?
Yeah, so how do I get rid of it for good?
Just the way you're doing, because you are seeking in every step of your way to look at the concepts, the beliefs, that you are holding inside that do not benefit you.
Oh, okay.
And so this is not a here today, gone tomorrow study. You didn't create this even over one lifetime. So it is a careful study that we learn and we grow and we make advances and successes, and we help others along the way, which helps our process too. And we see, as we see week by week, that we are changing and we're improving, and what was the problem of 2 weeks ago is no longer the problem of today. But you don't get to directly dismiss it or banish it. It's a working out sort of thing.
Okay.
And that's what you're doing. Dan, what did you see? What did you find?
Well, I know it was very, very subtle, but I noticed that when I would do the exit ritual, that it was like you turned up the brightness on a TV or something.
Okay.
The brightness and the contrast, it just, everything kind of became sharper and a little more three-dimensional.
So what would that say to you about what beauty is?
I guess that the what I came away with from doing that this week was that if you stop and take time to look into just absorb what's around you, that there's more depth to it, more to be experienced than just a, you know, flashing by.
Okay, so in other words, in the path of beauty, you find there is greater meaning and greater definition of what we call reality.
Yeah, kind of. Stop and smell the roses kind of thing.
Right. But even more than, say, that act of stopping and smelling the roses, which is sort of almost a respite, this is something even more dynamic than that. Because it begins to open or unlock the key to mystery.
I guess it heightens sensory perception.
That is right. That's right, exactly. Therefore, you are able to experience a much greater reality. Heightened awareness. Do you remember that one of the definitions of magic is heightened awareness? In class one, when we defined magic, we said it's the science of heightened awareness, selective perception, and so forth. So now you're experiencing that.
Right.
Very good. Magnus, what did you learn about beauty?
Yes. I was in sync as usual, you know, like I said before, when I say I have that feeling of being in sync with greater being, and something very beautiful, if I may say so, happened to me this week. And the first time I never looked at it, you know, I didn't kind of feel it because of my constant reading for the week, even though sometimes I don't have time to wait that, you know, really after greeting, wait for a long time.
What was it that happened to you?
It's something that, well, which usually doesn't happen because of management, you know, they just make that decision without telling you and
right.
Minor complaint. But in this case, the guy in charge called me himself and was seeking my opinion. If you're against that, I wouldn't do it. Only I'm having problem from, you know, the higher power, that's the his boss.
Right.
You know, I got talking to him about it. I kind of saw a kind of fire showing so bright. I calmed down, called his two assistants, and they came in. As a matter of fact, to make a long story short, when we finished, all of them were apologizing. I'm sorry. I will never, I mean, if my boss says something about it, I'm going to, you know, do this. He kept on apologizing even up to yesterday when I showed up at work. He said, please, Magnus, please forgive me. What happened yesterday shouldn't have happened. I mean, that was stupid of me to mention something about that. We know how we rely on you and all that. I mean, even the assistants, we all saying, we told him, you know, I was like, after that, I began to reflect, you know, all that went by in the week. Then I began to see the beauty, because it wasn't easy to kick against something from your management. And
Right. So in other words, you could not probably have controlled that situation yourself.
Exactly.
But something, we don't know quite what, something intervened for you.
That's what happened.
Right. And so obviously there is this amazing connection that we are making with what we call unseen beings. And they're showing us that this is not what we call a non-personal relationship. Do you understand? This is a highly personal relationship. But you see, it would mean nothing to you guys if I told you this is what will happen if you keep doing these exercises. You must find this out, each in your own way. Because only then will you completely trust it. So that's what we're doing these for, is to find out what happens when we are willing to say, make these statements to powers and beings. What do they do for us? And each of you is finding out in your own way. And collectively, you're sharing it to reinforce one another's understanding. So any questions or comments before we go on? You're all doing really well with this. Don't lose what you gain. So then, with fire boxes, of course, Randy's related that boxes kind of stir you up. However, you understand that there are so many different boxes. There's sun yellow up, there's sun yellow down, there's sun yellow radiative up, there's sun yellow radiative down. They don't all affect you the same way. And so if you do a box and you don't like the effect, take it off. And then go down in that same thing and see if that, how does that feel? Is that the way you approached it, Randy?
Well, not exactly. I was oftentimes busy and during when I have the boxes on, and I would just notice the effects. But then after a half hour or so, the effects seemed to wear off. And so I didn't go down, I didn't take the box off and go down a box.
Well, okay, but that's not a very scientific experiment then.
No, it's not.
Because you don't know, then you don't really know what would have happened if you had bothered to do that.
That is true.
I'll tell you what would have happened. You would have noticed 10 times more.
Oh, well.
You would have noticed things that you did not notice.
Well, I will definitely take the box off and...
Yeah, do it just the way we say and then tell us what you see. Because your mind is telling you something that may not be actual.
Yeah.
You know, I did a whole ritual last night in Sun Yellow Radiator, no, Motivator Down. And it didn't even occur to me. It was one of the funniest rituals I've ever done. It was so out of control in a way, in terms of my own human control. It was our first ritual with our fire pit and all, an outdoor ritual, and we set the entire altar on fire.
Oh, no.
It was amazing. It was like we had to, in the middle of the ritual, like dismantle the altar, get everything off of it, because the whole thing was put up in flames, including a giant kachina who was in danger. Its hair got singed off and back.
Oh, no.
It got it off in time. But it was smoking.
Oh.
You know, it's like, well, and then, you know, I didn't even think about it till today when I started doing boxes again. And this has been the busiest week of my life, I think, getting ready for this ritual that we've been preparing for months. And it's sort of like I kept doing boxes anyway, you know. But when I was thinking about it, like, Sun Yellow Motivator Down, I was definitely not in control of that ritual. But that's all right, because you invoke powers and beings, and there were lots of different beings there from all over this planet because we were sharing value systems and invited them all. And, you know, and so it's not like the ritual wasn't effective. Don't get me wrong. Everything got done that needed to be done, but didn't get done the way I thought it was going to be done. Not with the altar going up in flames.
Oh.
So, but you see, if you don't do these boxes and then look back and say, okay, now, what was different about that experience? Well, obviously then what most of us humans do, and myself being a triple fire sign, is I use a lot of Sun Yellow energy, being a double Sagittarius, Sun and Moon, I use a lot of Sun Yellow energy to motivate my life. I.e. to stay on top of my life, we say. Stay on top of your life. Yeah, right. And when I go down in Sun Yellow Motivator, I'm not on top of my life. It doesn't mean that necessarily that my life stops happening. It gets a lot funnier. It gets less predictable. But since the level of my being attracts the level of my life, it doesn't necessarily mean that it goes berserk. It just gets very humorous. So yeah, Randy, just stay at it. See what goes on. It's only a box. It's not going to kill you. So, Helen, what are you finding out with fire boxes?
Well, I haven't used them to speak of. I have been waiting for the video to come. I don't have, my computer didn't work with the video clip.
Oh.
And, you know, when I saw you in Boulder and I realized that I was constructing the box wrong, I'm probably being too cautious, but I felt
Yes. Like
I need to see.
Being too cautious.
I'm sort of visual, and I thought, rather than start doing it wrong and not realizing I'm doing it wrong, I didn't want to create a habit and then have to undo it.
Okay. I want everybody to listen to me very clearly on this matter. Ever, anytime, any of you make the mental decision that you need to stop doing homework or anything else because of, I don't care what, you call me right then and there. Is that a promise?
Okay.
Never do that again. That is just a waste of your time and energy. Because doing boxes is child's play. You don't have to worry yourself about it. I showed you how to do them.
Yeah.
So you can start doing fire boxes. You don't need a video. Do you know that when I took this course, we had none of that. None of that. We didn't have a textbook. We didn't have videos. We didn't have nothing except a teacher. And we took copious notes because that's what you had to depend on. So, you know, that stuff is all useful and it's great stuff. But rather than not be able to go forward because you don't have it, just call me. I'll talk you through it.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, start doing fireboxes. You'll love them.
Okay.
You really will.
Yeah. Yeah, I had done the air boxes. I just got surprised when I found out I wasn't making the air boxes right. So I thought, uh-oh.
Well, you weren't making them as precisely as you could, but that doesn't mean that you didn't feel them, does it?
No, I felt them.
Okay. So I only am helping you with your technique. It does not mean you weren't getting an effect.
Uh-huh. Okay, I thought maybe, you know, I wouldn't be getting the right effect if I wasn't putting it together properly.
Well, that's why you come to class and you say, well, I did this and this is what happened. What's the answer?
Okay.
So we'll help you with that. No worries. You know, that's why we use boxes, because they're very forgiving. You know,
good.
I wouldn't set you all out with fireballs. They're not as forgiving. So no worries. Jennifer, how about you? What did you find out with fireboxes? Maybe that's what made your week so fast.
Did you call me, Alan?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that. But did I find out? Well, I like fireboxes. I discovered I was careless with air boxes, and I was much more careful with fireboxes. Especially since I snorted that yellow one, and it took, I think, 4 days of air boxes to finally get that out of my nose.
Yeah.
So I discovered that an orange-red weightless up box got rid of my banking, and that was really pleasant.
Hey, what did you get rid of?
I tend to bank.
Oh, to get into bank states?
Yeah, when I go out and start working and sweating and that, it comes, and I kept saying that come to present time and stuff, and, you know, that helped in that, but then I come in and started, you know, got a drink and started working with the boxes, and it just lifted. It was really nice.
Yeah, it is nice, and that's a really, really good example, because we tend to think that red-orange could be kind of dangerous, right?
Yeah, avoid it. Get rid of pain, you know?
Because, yeah, but red-orange might increase pain if I took it on, right?
Yeah.
But you see, what you discovered is that red-orange can also burn out old images that are locked in tissue structures.
Okay, it was good. I really noticed that one. And then I did bright red ones,
mm-hmm.
And I could really kick it up and get things done.
Yeah, because it increases your metabolism.
Yeah. Is there a chance when you're doing bright red ones to boil yourself inside?
Well, you will heat up.
Uh-huh.
But it is not going to affect your neural system. But it'll make you sweat.
Okay.
You know, you'll lose water faster.
Uh-huh.
So that's why you probably you'll drink more when you're doing a lot of bright red up. Bright red down will cool you back off.
And those deep purple ones, they kind of liquefy you inside and make things loosen up.
Yeah, that is right. That's
yeah,
right.
Good.
it's like having a massage.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that weightless bright orange was that was real noticeable, and I appreciated that one.
Yeah, and weightless is very good there because, you see, it doesn't target any specific area of the body because it's weightless.
When I upped it burn out of the tissue, old memory?
Yeah, you see, bank stuff from the buried unconscious, it actually creates what's called engrams. They're like crystallized memories of non-survival episodes that are locked up in organs and in cells. And those are what cause discomfort or reactivity. And the red-orange weightless burns those out. It actually, you know, it's like sets them on fire and burns them out.
I could tell that was nice. And I thought weightless, oh, what is that ever going to do? Weightless, you know, but, oh, that was good.
Yeah, yeah, that's good research, you see. Dan, what did you discover?
I took boxes on and took them off all week long for various reasons, just not so much experimenting, but for just practical purposes of what was happened to be going on at a certain time.
Sure.
And I waited all week for somebody to give me that irate phone call, and nobody ever did.
Well, that's because you were too ready for them.
I was
afraid of you.
I just wanted somebody to call me.
And no, you were ready to just drain them dry. you see how strong your intention is? Everybody was avoiding you like the plague.
But I did so many different variations. I mean, everything worked and did what I intended for it to do.
So you're getting real astute at what these energies do, and that's what we want.
Right. I did discover a problem, though, early this morning. I woke up about 2 o'clock this morning and couldn't go back to sleep. And I thought, I need to take off a box of Sun Yellow. And then it all of a sudden occurred to me, how do you do that in the dark?
Okay. And what did you conclude?
I couldn't figure out a way to do it, so I got up and turned on the light. And
okay.
Did it that way.
Yeah. And next time that happens, what you do is you do what's called an energetic mock-up. You see yourself open a can of Sun Yellow paint, take a paint roller, put a wall up in front of you, and paint the wall Sun Yellow, and then use that as your energy matrix.
Okay. That would have probably worked better than me getting up and destroying what little bit of melatonin I had.
Well, but that's how we learn. That's nice to have a situation where it makes you wonder, you know, how can I deal with this? How can I do it? But you did something. And also, if you can't sleep and you've been handling a lot of fire boxes, I would tend to go down in Sun Yellow, motivator, or radiative, or both.
Okay.
Because that's more than likely what's happening, is you're getting inspired, so to speak, by everything that you're finding out, and that builds your Sun Yellow energy really strongly. Sort of the Joan of Arc type thing, you know?
How do you know you open up the right color paint when you start painting your wall?
Oh, just make sure it says Sun Yellow on it.
Oh, okay. Just
yeah.
The paint can and it says red orange, and that's what you paint and you draw off of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, right on.
As long as the barcode matches the name.
Yeah, well, it's really not a problem. So, Magnus, what did you discover with fireboxes?
I had a lot of, I took in a lot of red before going to work, and sometime at work, I noticed I was very energetic, and my work days went by smoothly, especially yesterday that on schedule I put in 11 hours.
Wow.
Soon after the work day, I was talking to the manager if he needs more help. I didn't realize it until he said, no, go ahead, man. You spent this is your longest day on the schedule, always on Saturdays. So when I got into my truck, it was then I began to realize, I said, huh, I had so much strength and to spare, even when I was supposed to, you know, physically get tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was addicted to red all week. That
did it make you real hungry?
It did not. Naturally, you know, from my background, I think I may have mentioned it to you. I don't eat like normal people.
Okay.
A lot of time I don't eat from morning till 10 at night.
Yeah.
I used to freak out because she's a nurse. She said, you will get stomach ulcer one of these days, you know.
Oh, I've been doing that all my life.
So I didn't get to really experiment with much of other colors. But bright red, I really tried it a lot of times.
I tried some of the other colors too, because they all have hidden properties and advantages.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you all are doing good with this. So then, with that exercise 4, 5, and 6 and the recognition, Helen, what was an example of number 4? That's the one, let's see.
Right.
Yeah, choose a type of material fire, such as fireplace fire, candle flame, or forest fire. Determine how it might be expressed on the mental or spiritual plane, such as will, enthusiasm, or anger.
Right. Okay. One of them was lighting multiple candles.
Good.
And the on the mental or spiritual, I put can induce romantic sexual feelings.
Okay, but what would be analogous to the lighting of many candles on the mental or spiritual plane?
Oh, okay.
Not just what does it cause?
Oh, all right. Okay, so I didn't pick a good one then.
No, you picked a really good one. Stay with it.
Okay. It can produce kind of a soft stimulation.
Yeah. So see, we're not asking what does it produce. We're saying what is the analogy? You've drawn us a picture now. You said, we are going to light a bunch of candles. Now, in the mental or spiritual fire, what would that appear like? Not what would it cause?
Okay, it would be radiative.
Yeah, but you've got to find a crossover. Draw us a picture now on the mental and spiritual level of fire that matches your picture on the physical level.
I keep thinking of the same thing, which doesn't I wish I hadn't picked this one. On a thought level, it would.
But it's not just thoughts now. We're not. Thoughts are air. This is the mental or spiritual level of fire.
Oh, a fire. Oh, okay.
You're on the right track. You're just not quite keeping it kosher here.
Yeah.
Okay. Visualize. See a picture of a bunch of candles lit.
Right.
Okay. Now. Now, you wanted to talk about stimulation, physical or pleasure or sexual stimulation, which is
fine.
Okay. What would that look like compared to the bunch of candles burning? That's all we're asking.
Well, what? Not getting it. It would
erotic stimulation of your senses.
Oh, okay.
It's just so simple.
Yeah, maybe it was okay. Yeah, I was making it more complicated.
You were making it far more complicated. You just draw a picture here, and you draw a picture there.
Okay.
Cool.
Can I give you another one just to see if I've
got
it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Another one I did was a torch spreading fire that could be used constructively or destructively. That was the material.
Okay.
And then mentally or spiritually, like a passionate speaker.
Okay.
Who could increase motivation.
Right. That's fine. That works.
Okay.
Works perfectly.
All righty.
Yeah, this is Don't make these difficult. Always look at the example given. Don't just copy the example, but copy the understanding of the example.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see, Randy.
Well, Alan, I just got started with Exploration 3. And
so you're not 2-4 yet?
Not 2-4, no.
Oh, okay. Well, do some, and then if you can come to lab, we can, you know, go over them then, if you can.
All right.
Okay? But listen and make sure you're understanding it. Jennifer, how about you?
I kind of did the same thing Helen did, but I did a high-powered car engine.
Okay.
It idles, and then you rev it, and it gets that
right.
Horsepower.
Okay.
And I get that as, first I started out with thrills and excitement and enthusiasm, but then I would say that on the spiritual level, it would increase your self-insurance, where you were more inner-directed than outer.
Okay, so you're talking about your motivation.
Yeah.
So like we say, revving your motor, don't we?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a natural one because our language already talks about it. Get your motor revved. Get going. Get off your butt and get, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's the whole motivation thing. So right on. That's perfect. Cool. Dan.
I chose a bonfire.
Alrighty.
And the mental aspect was that it was not only a lightning of the mental, but also a pushing up into the ether. And then the spiritual part of it was reminiscent of being turbocharged.
Okay.
Because of the intensity.
Right. Now, you all understand one thing here. When it says mental or spiritual fire, all it's talking about is the correspondences of fire. I.e., we're asking you to discover a situation that involves willpower, motivation, life force, enthusiasm, cheerfulness, anything that has aggression, angers, do you understand what I'm saying? Anything that corresponds to fire is what we mean when we say mental or spiritual fire. We're not talking about thoughts about fire or fiery thoughts. That's air. But whenever you see in any of these exercises, the material versus the mental or spiritual is talking about the correspondences of the elements. So you always look at your list of correspondences because it's asking you to get them to know them in a much bigger, deeper way. And I wasn't saying you did it wrong, Dan. I just want to make sure everyone was clear about that. Magnus, what did you do with that one?
I used candle flames.
Okay.
Typically, with candle flame, we use it to show light. And if handled properly, that's on the material fire.
Right. To
lighten up the room or surrounding. But when it's not used properly, it might cause destruction. I try to use a desire. I said something about the way we control our desire towards something creates the effect of what we go for, but we need to kind of use a moderation, not to be overambitious in order not to destroy it.
Right. Yeah, that's a great example. That works really well. And then on the next one where it asks now for a mixture of air and fire on the material, therefore air and fire on the mental or spiritual, Helen, what did you do with that one?
Gusty winds can spread a fire out of control.
Okay, good.
And then for the air fire, mental, spiritual, I put that paranoia can lead to excessive harmful passion by Hitler inciting.
Oh, yeah, perfect. That's a good one. So you really understood that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I had a cool one for that. Let me see. This is number five. I said a spark of static electricity that suddenly ignites dust in the air causes a flash fire, yelling an insult at a person and seeing them fly into a rage.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Randy, so you haven't gotten to that one. Jennifer, what'd you do with that one?
I got planning a vacation. The enthusiasm and thrill and then the interaction of different ideas and duties changes to anger and not going.
Okay, so you started on the mental, spiritual, in a way. How did you raise that one up to the mental, spiritual?
Now say that again.
Well, was that both all at once? Okay, so you're planning a vacation. Say it again, planning a vacation.
Yeah, so everyone gets charged.
Okay.
There's enthusiasm, there's go, go, go.
Okay.
And then it steps down. Oh, you got to pack all this stuff. You got to drive here and there. And they want to go here. You want to go there. And oh, let's just stay home.
Okay. But you see, you would do better this way. You've done part two first. Planning a vacation, and we get all enthusiastic. What would be a material air-fire mix that would match that?
Oh, okay.
You're already on the mental spiritual plane.
Air-fire mix that matches.
Yeah, because the planning is not planning a correspondent of air.
Yes.
It's not physical air.
Yeah, so I need something that sparks it, that causes it.
Well, no, you just need a physical air-fire mix that matches that, which you just told us. You give us the part two.
Well, that'd be like burning a sheet of paper. You hit it, it burns hard, and then it goes out.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that works. And then it's done, it's out, it's gone. You didn't get to go. Yeah, that's clever. Dan?
Yes, sir.
Your example of number five?
Well, I didn't have such a good grasp of that, so.
Well, that's why we're doing it. Tell us what your poor grasp was.
Well, I tried to use a candle.
Well, don't try to use a candle. If you use a candle, use a candle.
After listening to what's going on, I really did try to use one. I didn't actually use one.
Okay. So what did you do with your candle?
Yeah. Well, I again went towards the air characteristic thing. I don't know. I was on that plane of thinking the mental aspect, spiritual aspect of being more in the thought line. So I.
Well, that's all right. Just don't explain so much. Just tell us what you said.
Well, again, it was that the mental was stimulated and expanded, and that the spiritual was enhanced.
Okay. Okay. Devin, did you draw a picture of that? What would the picture look like? The concept, but what's the picture?
Well, the picture of the spiritual enhanced would be a darkened room with rays of illumination.
Okay. That would be on the physical, wouldn't it? I mean, if I'm understanding you, okay, I got an image when you said it of a darkened room, and you know how a candle flame all or a street light puts out those shafts of light almost like an aura?
Right.
But that's physical. So then what would be... Now, of course, that's more fire than fire and air in a way. But if you said, okay, a darkened room... And then a shower of light that sends out, from a candle flame, that sends out shafts of light and so on and so on. And what? Oh, what would be an air thing that would go along with it? With smoke curling up from the candle flame. How about that?
Okay. Okay.
Now, how would you draw a picture of that in the mental, spiritual aspects of air and fire?
So, you're asking me to describe that picture?
To draw a picture that matches that on the spiritual and mental aspects of air and fire. The physical picture that you gave us is this candle flame in a darkened room and what it's doing with the smoke curling up off of it. That gives you both air and fire.
So would it be a thought floating upwards?
That causes illumination, but that it ever increases like a spiraling thought that goes bigger and bigger and bigger and illuminates you so you get all excited. See, that's a good match. You all make this much too hard. It's not that difficult. But you have to feel it through.
Just not quite as eloquent as you are in expressing it.
Well, it's not the eloquence I'm after, though, Dan. It's the realization of how this works. It's doing these crossovers. And you may think that this is just sort of an arbitrary exercise, but it's not, because these crossovers are ultimately what are going to make you able to see what is going on inside of a person that we think is so hidden. And it's going to be so obvious. But it's these crossovers that make that come to light.
So can you give us some physical ones that we can, like your candle smoking up, that we can correlate to others? You know what I mean?
Not exactly. Keep telling.
Give me the material, and then I'll sit and think about what the other would come to. What, like a lightning bolt, or?
Right. Well, okay. A material situation is that you're sitting with a friend, and they are being critical, judgmental, and insulting. And they've got a lot of passion in it.
That's the spiritual side, though, isn't it?
Not if I say it's the physical side. But can you draw a spiritual one to match it? If you can't, then maybe I'm wrong. But if you can, then I'm right. So, how would you change that to match into will and desire, enthusiasm, and so forth? Okay, so you're sitting with a friend, and they are being judgmental and critical. Okay, so you could say, okay, so I'm sitting with my committee in my head, and they are beating me up inside with a vengeance, and I can't get away from it. because there's no physicality there at all. And you can say, well, you're cheating. But I'm not cheating because it works. Do you see what I'm getting at? There's no right or wrong to these if they work.
The mental and spiritual there?
Of air or fire? You say, what is the mental or spiritual there in that example?
Yeah.
Your own internal judgment?
How you perceive it then?
Well, it's not how you perceive it, it's just what is going on.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing physical there, is there? It's not a tree, it's not an elephant, nothing's actually happening, but it's something that goes on all the time, and it is a mix of air and fire. The same way when you start doing number six, and you've got, say, fire and water. I mean, there's so many ways you can do that. I played with one just to see if I could do it that wasn't so obvious. Like, okay, so my fire-water combination, listen to this, it's not typical. The sun setting over Sunset Bay on the Oregon coast. Brilliant colors make the water come alive with splendor. There is fire and water there in the physical. And their interplay is more in terms of color and light. Obviously, the sun is not heating up the water of the ocean, necessarily. And then my crossover is a spiritual experience of the burning bush variety that leaves one in a state of awe and radiant appreciation. Does that work or not?
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, it works. So it's legal. Do you see what I'm getting at? Doesn't have to be typical. I mean, yeah, you can do typical ones. Water moving faster can carry more fire. Niagara Falls produces a lot of usable electricity. Passion and compassion properly directed can change the world, i.e. Mother Teresa made a huge impact on conditions around her. Okay? So those are more typical of water-fire combinations seen on both the physical and the mental spiritual levels. But it's more fun to find unusual ones, too. So, anybody want to share one of those? A water-fire combination one?
Yeah, I'll go.
Oh, good.
One I put was heat and water in an iron get rid of wrinkles.
Yes, I'm all ears.
Okay. And then willpower and emotions working together help in keeping New Year's resolutions.
Oh, cool. Okay. Smooth out the challenges, huh? That's very clever, Ellen.
Okay.
You see, you can play with these. You can make them up so many different ways. Now, you all are wondering, how could what he said be true? I'll tell you. Everybody broadcasts everything that's going on inside of them in many, many ways. The way a person holds their face, the way a person moves their mouth. Did you ever sit and watch people? If you really want to understand this, turn on your TV, watch any show you want, but turn the volume off. And just watch what people do with their faces and their hands and their bodies. And it's hilarious, particularly if you don't have sound, because you see, the sound lies. The sound, they use voice and other things to make you focus not on what their faces are doing, but what they're saying isn't the truth. Their faces are the truth. So people broadcast everything that is going on inside of them. And at the same time, they say, I'm not airing my dirty laundry in public, and they're airing it all the time. They're just waving it in your face. And all we're teaching you how to do is to read the signs. And these exercises is how you learn how to do that. Questions or comments? Helen?
No, I think I have it. It feels okay to me. For some odd reason, I had the easiest time with water, fire. I thought that was interesting. That seemed to come the quickest to me.
Well, that's okay. So use that as your touchstone and expand the others.
Yeah.
You know what the process is.
Yeah.
Randy, questions or comments?
Not right now.
You sound puzzled.
Yeah, I was a little confused when you were saying how you can read people by observing their faces. And it's not what they say.
It's not just their faces.
Mm-hmm. But their body language.
Right. Right. Because, you see, all of the characteristics are going to be expressed there, that they're high in.
I see. Yeah.
So, you know, they may be highly radiative. They may be high in motivator. They may be high in easy flow. They may be high in insulator, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because these exercises you're doing teach you more about the intricacies of the characteristics and the correspondences, they will just start creating ahas in you without having to analyze. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It'll just pop up for you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just say, well, that person over there that is holding back and shut down, that's insulator. They are really high in insulator,
mm-hmm.
in white. And there's an arrogance there that is like non-mutable yellow-orange. And there's, I mean, you'll just know.
Yeah.
It'll just stand right out. It's like it's almost they're wearing billboards.
Mm-hmm. I could see how that would happen if you could keep working on these.
That's why I'm having you all work on them, because ultimately we promise you that if you understood these qualities of things, how the elements interrelate by virtue of their characteristics and correspondences, that you would be able to decode anything in this universe. That was the premise of this course. Jennifer, questions or comments?
No.
Dan?
Can I just give it one quick shot here to make sure I've got it?
Sure.
I did boiling water for the watered fire.
Sure.
Inner stimulation, exciting molecules into steam, which rises to push a pinwheel into action.
Okay.
Inner emotion, stirred up, to produce action.
Sure, that works. It's very simple, right? Very straightforward.
Well, it's simpler than it was.
Well, I mean, it's just, can I draw a picture here? Can I draw a picture there? Do they match? That's all. You know why we have so much trouble with this? Because do you all realize that most adults are what we call non-functioning illiterates? Or what do we call it? Functional illiterates. Do you all understand what that means? Anybody not know what that means?
I don't.
You don't know what it means? Okay. We go to college, we go to school, we learn a lot of stuff. what we're never really taught is how to use it all. See, functional literacy means that you know how to make use of all your knowledge pieces. And that's what we really work on in the school. So that it isn't so much how much knowledge you have, it's how much of it can you use. Okay. Magnus, questions or comments?
I don't have questions, but I was just on the end, fire and water and fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in track, on track rather. I said something about I kind of use the air and fire, I use a gas stove requiring a specified amount of oxygen. To make it warm. If it's in excess, it will not. It will burn off carbon dioxide, which is not good for cooking. On the spiritual aspect.
Wait a minute. I didn't. What was your water aspect there?
Okay, I was reading the air and fire, but the water and fire aspect is I use paper flame put out with water.
Okay. Okay, so you put out a flame with water?
Water, yes.
Okay, and what would be the mental spiritual?
I said discouraging feedback can kill the best intention.
Cool. That works. That's a really nice one.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. Could you say that again, Magnus?
Discouraging feedback can kill the best of intentions. Isn't that nice? It's like throwing a damp field on somebody's intention. That's like dousing a fire. It's a perfect picture. Way to go, Magnus. Okay, healing techniques with fire. There are a couple of video clips for those of you who had the videos. And Helen, Stephanie knows you need it, or are you coming?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anything that will carry electricity will carry fire energies, even psychic fire energies. Relative to helping others, do not change another person's balances without their permission unless they are threatening you. All this we've already talked about. This is just review. Remember the normal body flows, top to bottom, back to front, and inside to outside. All body pain or fever or stress frustration is flame band, red, orange, yellow, orange, mostly red, orange. Okay. When you're working with another person and getting rid of or pulling out fire energy, or even changing, converting fire energy, ask them how they feel every 30 seconds or so, because it is radiative and it moves very quickly, and you don't want somebody to pass out. For that reason, when I work on people pulling fire, I have them sit down. That way, if they pass out, I just catch them and pop them back up. But if you're careful, it won't happen. The well-trained practitioner does not hold in themselves energy that you pull out of another person, but ground it out whenever you can. And, of course, use your input hand to pull energy and your output hand to ground out energy or flow energy out when you can. Sometimes you may have to reverse that. So work on being ambidextrous. Or you may use other body parts. You can pull energy in through your elbows, too. You can put energy out of your feet, too, obviously. And when you're working with another person, particularly with fire energies for healing or helping, you often have to ask them to let go or let the energy flow because they tend to want to block it or contain it. But with a little encouragement, they will do so. And be, know your shortages and excesses so that you're more accurate with what you're doing. Take your time, think it through, and do it right, but do it. Don't prevent yourself because you will learn so much more when you begin to realize how much you can do very quickly to help other people and yourself and animals and so forth. Okay, so general healing techniques. General tension, anger, pain, and fever. Now, this says tension, so that says tension builds up in us. Stress builds up in us. It's not something that the world is giving us. It's something that happens in us. Always go to a ground first. Get grounded first for yourself or anyone else. Now, if we're talking about the whole body, ground the feet because you're going to flow the whole thing out. If necessary, you can use your hand to be the grounding or pulling agent and ground through your other hand. Do practice flowing through your body that way so that you don't block it yourself. Because, see, a lot of people in our culture have neck blockages, shoulder blockages, and so forth, and you don't want to block it. So how do you prevent blocking it? Well, there's even a section on that later on called Sun Yellow Flow Through. Somewhere in here, I forget exactly what page that was on. Let me see. We talked about that before too, but if you're blocking or somebody else is blocking flowing energy through them or out of them, just build a sun yellow radiative box and smash it in there to that area. Even yourself. Build a box full of sun yellow, fill it with radiative, and reach behind you and smash it right into the middle of your shoulder blades if necessary. And it will help clear that stuff out. It will help you clear your own blockage. Localized pain in the arms, hands, legs, or feet. So, now, one of the best ways to do this kind of work, because you don't know for sure which fire color it is, can be pretty well darn sure it's not bright red, because that's just body metabolism. That's generally not what we're talking about. We're talking about some kind of health problem, such as pain or stagnation, blood stagnation, and so forth. So what I do is I line up my colors. Sun yellow because I want that there in case I need to give them some to break through a blockage. Yellow orange, red orange, and deep red. Or maroon, if you want to call it that. And then I start pulling from an area where the person has pain, below that area generally, in terms of the body flows, and grounding it on a ground, and I ask them to let me know when they feel a flow. So I'll look at yellow-orange, and then I'll flow that for a few seconds. I'll look at red-orange, flow that for a few seconds. I'll look at deep red, flow that for a few seconds. Then I'll go back to yellow-orange, and I'll keep doing that until they indicate they feel something. And then I know which color it is that I need to start with. So if I'm on red-orange and they say, yeah, I feel it moving, I'll keep flowing red-orange. And then I'll say, I'll take my hand away from them, keep it on the ground, and say, how is it now? Has it changed? And a lot of times they'll say, it's gone. Then I stop flowing and get rid of any that's left in me. If they say, yeah, it's lighter, but I still feel it, I go back and pull some more. Then I pull some red, some deep red. if they've got a lot of twitching and excess movement, or nerve dysfunction, nerve blockage, more in the yellow lines. Or blast the sun yellow box through and then pull yellow lines. Now, if you're talking about localized pain in the mid-body area, it's very useful with that or the limbs to feel for the hot spot. Now, how do you do that? You use your output hand, not your input hand, your output hand. If you're right-handed, your right hand. You hold it about 2 to 3 inches above. Do not touch the person. That won't help. Hold it above that area of their body and then feel up and down the cord, the body flow of their body, and you'll feel an area that feels prickly or hot under your hand. If you touch the body, you won't feel it. So when you feel that, that's the ridge, that's the blockage. And so if you're going to blast sun yellow through that, you put it right above that. And if you're going to pull, then you pull from below that and pull energy through that area to break up that blockage. You can even pull sun yellow through. Put a box of sun yellow above, then pull from below and get some flow through there. And then they will start to feel that area. It probably will be either painful or numb prior to that. Of course, as we talked about before, with headaches, you can have the person put their head on the refrigerator or on the ground and help them to flow energies out of it. You can even push a little white or powder blue energy in from behind, either by box or direct flow. However, one of the best ways to deal with either headaches or mid-body pain, chest or abdomen, whatever, colon, whatever, stomach, is what we call energy recircling. Now this is a technique that you guys will like a lot. And it just takes a little practice. So, say somebody has a headache, and they say it's in the middle or the front of their head. Sinus headache. So you line up your colors, but you also put a couple of air colors there. You've got glass you can look at for clear. You've got white. And maybe you've got powder blue, and then you've got sun yellow, yellow orange, red orange, deep red. Okay. Put your pulling hand on the front of your head. Have them sit down. Put your output hand on the back of their neck. Or on the back of their lower occipital area. Is fine. So look at, say, yellow orange and then red orange first, and start pulling with your pulling hand, with your out. I'm sorry, with your reverse it. Put your pulling hand, your intake hand on the front of the head, your output hand on the back of the head. Right. So you start pulling with your left hand if you're left right-handed. You're taking in your input hand at the front of their head by looking at red, orange, or yellow, orange. And telling them to let go and let it flow. And then you feel that energy coming up your arm. And as it goes across your shoulders, switch your eyes to either clear white or powder blue. And put it back into their neck or lower occipital area with your through your other hand as air energy in either clear, white, or powder blue. So this way, you're not actually getting rid of any of their energy. You're just recirculating their energy and converting it. And you just keep looking from one color to the other. If red iron seems to be the color that's most effective in terms of them letting go and feeling the pain leave and go out through your hand, then you look at red orange and you flow that, and then you look at the clear and you flow that, you look at the red orange, you flow that, and you look at the clear and flow that, or powder blue. Red orange to powder blue, red orange to powder blue. And you'll actually feel warmer on your pulling arm and cooler on your output arm. You can do the same thing in the chest. If a person has some chest pains, heart pain, you might find deep red is effective pulling out with the heart, or yellow orange, pulling back in, since it's the lung chest area, clear. If they're having stomach pain or intestinal pain, pulling out red orange, putting back in white or powder blue, not clear. Now, there are some headaches that are either migraines or what we call damp type headaches, where there's too much water involved. A damp headache, generally, the person will say, feels like a tight band around their head. You can pull fire energy, but that won't clear a migraine, and it won't clear a damp headache either. It'll help. Migraines, because it's a spirit-to-mind conflict, you can maybe help them some. You're not going to probably get rid of it. With a damp headache, if you also put their hand in a glass of water, their output hand, that will help, because they'll naturally flow some of the water out too, while you're pulling red-orange energy out and putting, say, clear back in the back. Any questions on that circulation technique? That's a wonderful way to deal with people. This is something, Helen, you were talking about at work. How do I make work play rather than work?
Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, most of these techniques, by the way, work in less than a minute. If you're pulling and recirculating energy for a person more than a minute, I wouldn't even bother.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, you know, because, see, when we get up to Earth, how long do you all think it takes to heal a broken bone? Anybody?
I remember reading Message Down Under.
Yeah, right. And that's
and it was like instantaneous.
Right. And you all will learn how to do that.
That's great.
Yeah, with a keyed plate, you can heal a broken bone in 30 seconds. That's all it takes.
Wow. That's wonderful.
So, you know, if that's so, how long do you think it takes to pull a headache?
Yeah.
10 seconds, 20 seconds. You know, so I'm not talking about a long time. I'm talking about 3 breaths or so. You know, so, you know, yeah, it takes a little practice. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it doesn't take that long to learn. This stuff is not difficult. This stuff is natural. It's easy. So you got somebody and they're sitting there and they're holding their head and popping aspirin. You say, you want some help? You know,
mm-hmm.
And you just say, just close your eyes and breathe. Just breathe. Relax. I'll just do a little Reiki or something. Everybody knows about Reiki. I'll do some touch for health. You know, and you pull some red irons, put a little clear in. How do you feel? You know, it's like the hardest thing is to let them relax and get it to flow. Let go, let go. It's okay. It won't hurt me. Just let it go. You don't need that. Is it moving yet? Is it moving? Encourage them. Say, yeah, I think it is. Yeah. and then pull for 10 seconds or so and take your pulling hand away and keep putting powder blue or clear in the back of their neck and say, how is it? It's gone. Your hand away and you're done. Go on about your... You're going to have lines at your desk.
Yes.
And that's play. That's not work.
Yeah. I have a question.
Sure.
I carry a headache a lot at the base of my back of my head, and it radiates up in my jaws.
Okay.
And I've been trying to work with the boxes and that, and I'm not having a lot of luck. How can I fix that?
Pull from the bottom of your spine.
But the flow chart says that it goes from top down.
That is from top down.
So pull from the bottom of my spine.
Yeah. Because, see, it's hard to do with a box because you can't get that much flow.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is, first of all, line up the colors like I told you. Put the bottom of your spine on the refrigerator, or put your pulling hand on the bottom of your spine and put your output hand on an outlet or the refrigerator, a ground, and then go through those colors and see which one feels like it's clear.
Okay.
And if it isn't, right away clearing, make a box of sun yellow radiative and smash it in the back of your neck and then start pulling.
Now, do I need to put in white or clear?
You're not circulating this way. You're pulling.
Okay.
You know, because circulating works really well, but if it's something that's really stuck chronically, it's better just to pull it, blast and pull. There's a section on that on page, I don't know what page, I can't read the page numbers. So on the next to last page of this class, it says, pushing old pain out with sun yellow. Right at the bottom of 125, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, any form of pain, especially old wounds or injuries, also including cramps, toothache, tooth pain, jaw pain, if you will, similar, represents an energy block. Slamming a box of sun yellow through can explode these blockages. Put your foot on electrical ground. See, that would be another way. You can do it that way. And slam sun yellow boxes from above the area of pain. Or you can lean up against the refrigerator and yellow through your body into the refrigerator. And then, after you push the sun yellow through, then start flowing, not boxes of, if there's still pain, now just pull and flow red orange out of your jaws and so forth, in the back of your neck.
Okay.
Now, if the pain gets worse, when you do that, that means it's a bank affair. And you can't pull it. And then we'll learn other techniques for that. But probably it's not, and probably it will allow you to pull it out. Any other questions?
Ellen, if you're not near something electrical, can you literally use just the ground?
No, because the ground is there. It's earth. It's a resistance field.
Oh, all right.
So, where would be a place where you're not near an electrical something?
Well, sometimes I'm in a room, but, the outlets are covered by desks.
Does happen. Are there any big any big metal file cabinets?
Yeah.
They'll act as a ground.
Okay, just a file cabinet.
Yeah, it's not going to dissipate the energy real well, but it'll get rid of it for you.
Okay.
You know, because they'll handle a fair amount of energy.
Okay, great.
It would be rare that you would put enough red orange or yellow orange energy in, that it would sort of, you know, incandesce it or burn the papers inside.
Oh, what? That would cause a scene.
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of be a fun little episode.
Right. Okay.
But don't put them into computers and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's definitely going to create a scene.
Right.
Now, there's another way. You know, a lot of people that are taking these courses that do work on people or massage therapists and stuff, what they've done is they take a piece of Romex.
I'm sorry, a piece of what?
Romex, electrical cord.
Oh.
You know, electrical line.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, you can get, I wouldn't use a 220, but you know these sort of shielded plugs for 110 for air conditioners?
Well, no, but...
You know what an extension cord looks like.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Okay. You just want a fairly heavy-duty one.
Okay.
And take a pair of pliers or cutters and cut both of the flat poles off. So you just have the bonding ground, the round one.
Okay.
The third one. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You've never looked at an electrical plug?
Well...
A black color.
Huh?
A black color cable.
Well...
No, I'm sorry to jump in. I was trying to, you know, out of the three wires, ground is always black.
The three wire, no, the ground is green.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The wire, and if you're talking about chipped wire, that's the green wire, right, the bonding ground. You know, with your outlets, Helen, there's two slots up at the top and then a round slot down in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's that round one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
But that carries no current. That's just a, that goes to ground, okay?
Oh, I did, okay.
And so you can cut a fairly, you know, a good fat extension cord, not a real thin one, but won't carry enough flow.
Uh-huh.
And plug it in under your desk, just the round part.
Uh-huh.
And then have it where you can put your feet on it, and you've got a ground.
Oh, okay.
Because it can't be live unless you have the small, flat one. The wide flat blade is also a grounder. They call it the neutral. But you don't even have to worry about that. Just cut both off or have Randy do it for you, whatever. And Randy, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with the round part.
Yeah. Well, that gives you a bonding ground, which goes right to ground, and then you can just put tape on the other end of the wire so nobody thinks you're doing something funny, you know, or just have a regular end on the other end. It doesn't matter because all that's plugging in is that a ground.
Uh-huh.
Now, another way to do it, which is even more tricky, is use one of those little plug-ins as a, it's a tube that converts to three, and it has a little strap on it with a little tongue thing, and you loosen the screw on the outlet and put that under that screw and re-tighten it down. That's the old-fashioned way.
Okay. I'll try the fat cord way.
Yeah, that works. Okay, any other questions? You guys ask.
Yes, I have a question, please.
Yes.
See, the question, I think... no, I'm not too good with names, but that was just asked about if you are not around a place you can ground yourself.
That was Helen.
Helen, okay. What if one is, say, in the mountain or where there is no electricity at all?
Right. Good question. Okay. I would apologize to the tree and use a tree. Because the tree is grounded, right?
Yes.
It's got its roots down in the earth.
That's correct.
Yeah, and it's not going to hurt the tree. It's going to buzz it a little bit. But if you know, as long as you say, do you mind? I really need a ground, and give it a sun yellow box afterwards.
Okay.
That's what I would do. Now, if you can't do anything else, do an energetic mock-up. See yourself take a long piece of copper tube or brass pipe or rebar, steel, you know, iron, steel, whatever. Drive it deep into the ground about 6 feet and then leave a tip sticking out, and then you got a ground. It's an energetic mock-up ground, but it's better than nothing. It's better than trying to force fire energy into earth, which doesn't want to take it.
Okay.
And practice these things on people. It's fun. You know, and you won't hurt anybody. Just keep asking them how you're feeling, you know, and stuff. And when they're amazed at how well you did, don't brag. Just say, no worries, and go on about your business. See how many people gather at your desk for help. And then don't forget, sky above and earth below, walking in beauty. I greet you. Walking in beauty. It creates, see, water moves, air moves, carries more fire. Just see what happens. Walking in beauty. Some of you may end up walking on water. That's okay. We don't mind. But don't look down, because you know what happens. You might. You'd be so surprised. Everybody happy?
Yep.
Randy, are you happy?
Yes.
Yes, good. Dan?
Sure am.
Are you having fun, Dan?
Pardon me?
Are you having fun with this material?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Well, indeed. Well, you guys are doing really fine. Really fine. It's not everybody that learns how to be a magician, and everybody wants to be a Harry Potter, and you all are learning how to do the real thing. So there you go. So have a lovely week, and I will be in lab on Wednesday, and I'll see you guys around. But remember, if you get stuck, you call me, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Alan?
Yes, yes.
Just this is just about the bank that we did.
Yes, I'm
talking with you about it. Is there a day or time that's better for you for me to call you?
Oh, shoot. Let me see. What's this week? What's your schedule like tomorrow? You'll be at work, right?
No, I only work there part-time. Then I see clients at home.
Would something around 11 tomorrow work for you?
I tell you, actually, I'm booked from 11 on. I have time before 11.
Uh-huh.
Wednesday, I have a lot more free time.
So do I.
Okay.
Is this to do the second session or just to talk about what's going on?
I guess both, but I think I'm going to need a second session.
No, I know that. But,
oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're saying.
I didn't know if we were ready to do that or...
I don't know. What's the criteria for...
how many realizations are you having about things?
Oh, okay. You know what? I'll put something down in writing to help myself be focused about it, and then when we talk on Wednesday, I'll bring you what I have.
Okay, that's fine. But I mean, just in general, are things coming up that we talked about?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. So what can you give me an example?
Sure. Well, for instance, around sleep. I've noticed that my sleep has felt deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But last Thursday, on a client's behalf, I had to get involved disability insurance. And it was not necessarily a legal thing, but if, you know, in my mind, it sort of falls in that category.
Of course.
And I had a lot of trouble sleeping that night. I mean, I woke up again with this, you know, vague sense of panic.
Okay. Now, did you question that vague sense of panic?
Yeah.
How did
I sat with it. I didn't run from it.
What did you ask about it?
Well, I asked myself, you know, specifically, what was I afraid of?
That's not a very useful question.
It's not?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Because you're asking your mind to give you a justification for what your mind holds, which it cannot do.
Well, like my mind would say, there's, again, that vague feeling somehow that it's not specifically like that I'm going to jail, but it's I'm going to get caught or in trouble.
Right. See, that's your mind's memory of the pattern it held.
Right.
But that doesn't tell you anything. What you want to ask is, am I obliged to do anything?
Oh, okay.
Because you were woken up by this.
Uh-huh.
The question you need to ask is, do I have to be woken up by this?
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Do I have choice? Can I sleep or must I wake up?
Okay.
Until you ask, you're just operating on old habits.
Okay. There was some of that that I did.
Good.
Good. Yeah, I did it. I guess the asking the other way, I see the difference that I was saying to myself, you know, I'm not going to jail over this.
That's right. But see, again, that's just part of mind speaking to part of mind.
Okay.
Doesn't carry a lot of force, does it?
Okay.
Yeah. But if you ask yourself, see, spirit can ask about choosing. Choice is in spirit, not mind, okay?
Okay.
So you say, okay, I'm confronted with a legal situation. Mind says, run.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit says, am I forced to run? Do I have to run? Do I have a choice here?
Okay.
And you just sit there and wait. Don't necessarily expect an answer. Just see.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't get up and run. I guess I have a choice. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
What you're trying to find out is there a driver on it?
Uh-huh.
See, before, you could not even ask the question, do I have a choice? Because so much of you was taken by the charge of either grief or anger, shame or guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're trying to find out, is there still that charge?
Okay.
Or is it just the memory of that charge?
All right. The other piece that happens is there's a strong physiological reaction.
To
when this happens. So I'm kind of hyperventilating when I wake up.
And you're still doing that?
Yeah, that happened Thursday.
Okay. So again, ask yourself, do I have to hyperventilate?
Okay.
To see what happens.
Okay.
You know, now if you've got engrams, i.e. if there is something still in you, in the cellular tissue, memory, this lifetime that's causing you to react, I can treat that.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to find out by asking the question first.
Okay. Okay. Good. I will do that.
Yeah, so play with that some more and then see. And I would prefer, if possible, to, when we do the second session, to have you come here and I'll treat you and everything.
Okay, it's better in person then?
Yeah, much better.
All right. Well, that might take a little bit. Have to do that over a weekend.
That's fine.
That's fine, except I think the next 3 weekends I'm going to be working on Saturday.
Well, that's all right. But, you know, we can talk and sort of keep current on how it's going. It doesn't, you know, if that's still within good range, as long as we keep communicating.
Okay.
But I want you to find out for yourself that there is no actual driver on a lot of this stuff. Not just on that one issue, but all the different things that we went through. See if similars don't crop up in your life and start asking to see if you have choice or don't have choice.
Okay?
And let me know, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'll stay in touch.
Alrighty.
About it. Okay, good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Helen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.